Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bob Elson. We're set as usual for our Saturday afternoon show. And in Chicago today, we're having a little bit of rain. The Cubs are on the road. The White Sox are scheduled to play tonight at Sox Park, so let's hope the weather clears up. We're going to be talking about bowling today with an old friend of mine, Carmen Salvino, one of the country's top bowlers and a man who's really made a study of the game. So we'll have many things to talk about with Carmen, and he'll be our guest in just about 1 minute. We're delighted to have Carmen Salvino, an old friend and one of the country's top bowlers, as our guest today. Carmen, every sport goes through a period of highs and lows and so on and so forth. What phase of highs and lows would you say bowling is in right now?
Well, Bob, you're right. Bowling has gone through its phases where we at one time just opened the doors of the bowling center in the 1960s, and all of a sudden we had all kinds of business. And then about the early 70s, bowling went down a little bit. Now bowling's back up again, and we're on the upswing, and we've had tremendous attendance in our tournaments. The leagues are filled up. Bowling's on the upswing.
Has there been, in your time, any change in the game?
Oh, Bob, there's been tremendous changes. We used to at one time have wooden pins and shellac on the lanes. Now we have plastic pins, rubber and plastic bowling balls. We have plastic on the surface of the lane. We had only a handful of good young bowlers in 1960s, and today you have 50 good young bowlers. The kids of today are really coming on strong.
The average person who starts, I'm talking about an adult, who starts to bowl, does he have a tendency to pick a ball that's too heavy for him?
That's true, Bob. And not only that, do they want to pick a ball that's too heavy, but they want to go up there and they want to throw the ball too hard. That's the mistake that a lot of men make, and that's why a lot of women beat a lot of men in bowling, because they learn to bowl through coordination and timing, and men want to get out there and muscle the ball, just like in golf, and they end up losing.
Why is it they say that men can beat women at any sport? Even in bowling?
Well, it becomes an endurance problem. See, most women can't practice 30 to 40 games like a lot of men. But I want to say this, if the men practice as little as the women and all things would be equal, I think women have better coordination and in the long run would be more superior to the men if they had a little more endurance.
Is that right?
Yes, I'll tell you, I remember one girl in particular that I bowled when I was 19 years old. And I took her to a mixed doubles tournament with me. She shot 660, and I shot 590, and she beat me in front of all my teammates. And 25 years later, I'm still married to her. I figured anybody could beat me that way, I got to marry them.
Well, it's a strange thing, but even in cards, the four greatest bridge players in the world are men. Now, there's something there why you would feel that a woman has an equal chance. There's nothing physical about it. Man is stronger than a woman, can probably react, do more, and before he gets tired out. But now sitting down at a card table, the four top bridge players in the world are men.
Well, let me say this. Men have an ability to focus and concentration on a particular given subject at a longer period of time. Because most of the time, women are brought up that they've got to take care of the laundry, they've got to take care of the children, so their mind is more designed to think in terms of many subjects at one time. Where a man goes to a specific job, he thinks of one thing so he could learn to focus. But I think from childhood, that separates the women from the men. But it's not a matter of intelligence, it's a matter of training.
You told us a very interesting story here one time. I think one of these gentlemen here asked you about it today. A man that used to tip you off on circumstances and so on when you were going to bowl in a very important match. What was that story?
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, this man, I'm very grateful to him, because if it wasn't for him, my career could have possibly been over. His name is Henry Lahr. He's out of Chicago here, but the last couple of years due to a stroke, he's had some illness and he hasn't been able to work with me, but he is definitely responsible for me being where I'm at today. His name is Henry Lahr, and he's a mechanical engineer, and he opened my mind. He gave me the greatest gift that any one person can give to another person. He opened my mind, and I that's what I try to do for youngsters when I'm on the road. The most important thing I think you could do for someone is not just to help them and become a crutch. I think you've got to open their mind, and then when you've done that kind of a job where you can walk away and they can now think better on their own, you've done a great job.
When it comes to top flight championship bowling, how do you divide it? How much of it is physical and how much of it is mental?
Bob, I think all athletes, not only in bowling, I think in any sport, they all reach a plateau physically. And the superstar, the so-called player that's above the crowd, he is able to control his mental abilities and coordinate them with his physical abilities better than the next man. And it's not always size. And also, you look at many sports, and you'll have a player that's good for 5 years or 6 years, and then all of a sudden you come along with an Enos Slaughter, so to speak. He had longevity in the game, an early win. To me, those people have something in the brain that separates them from the guy that plays 5 years.
Well, now, is that true of some bowlers, too?
Well, you're looking at one.
You're still at it and still good.
Still at it, still good. Bob, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to last long in any sport, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to have a little sense of humor. You've got to have a little craziness. You've got to be loose, but you've got to be able to focus when you're out there, too.
Be honest with us now. How would you say you rate with Anthony?
Bob, do you think I would tell you anything but the truth on the air in particular? Let me say this. Earl Anthony is a great bowler. Dan Carter's a great bowler, and Dick Weber's a great bowler. Of the three, Dick Weber is the greatest bowler of them all, and I'm right behind Dick Weber because I've been bowling 29 years professionally at the top, where Anthony has been at the top only about 10 years, and Carter was at the top about 10 years. So if you want to look at greatness, the question in my mind is, if you master a sport for 10 years, does that make you great? If you master a sport for 15 or 20 years at the top, does that make you great? What is the greatest? To me, it's a matter of choice.
How many times during your career have you changed the weight of the ball?
I haven't changed the total weight of my ball, but I've changed the balance in my ball where you can put what they call sideways. You can drill the ball off label, and you're allowed 1 ounce on the side and 3 ounces on the top, difference between the top and bottom. Now, I've played around with the balance of my ball. In fact, just recently I signed a contract with the Brunswick Company, and I designed a weight block for dynamic balance that's coming out in a new ball called the Mark 10 now. And I'm the first one that ever designed a bowling ball for dynamic balance. Most bowling balls we've proven on lasers that wobble while they revolve.
Do you use a foot push-off?
Yes, I got a push-away, and I push off on my right leg, and I have a strong thrust at the end. And I think you need that strong thrust. In fact, right now at 46 years old, I've been working out with weights because I'm not, 20 years old anymore, and I have to compete with players at 20 years old. And I've been weightlifting, and at one time I thought weightlifting was bad, and I never did want to really get too deep into it. But as I find out now, if you do it properly, you do not tighten up. Quite to the contrary, you get very agile.
Our guest today at Northwest Federal, and we're delighted to have him as an old friend and one of the country's top bowlers, Carmen Salvino. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today at Northwest Federal is an old friend and one of the country's top bowlers, Carmen Salvino, who's been our guest here at Northwest Federal many, many times. Carmen, the average bowler, does the average bowler, or say the person starting in, have a lot of foot faults?
Yes, Bob, what happens with most people is that they, like we said earlier, they try to throw too heavy a ball, and as a result, they get off balance to the right, and their shoulder drops. Instead of learning some coordination with a lighter ball and graduate in weight, they want to lunge to the line, they want to go up there very fast so they can get a lot of speed instead of trying to get rhythm and coordination. So it definitely is important when you're first learning to bowl, get a light-weighted ball, learn some rhythm, walk up there, don't tip over too much, just bend slightly at the waist, don't try to be too erect. There's an in-between in everything, which you get a counterbalance.
Well, now you're recognized as one of the country's top bowlers. What is there still for you to learn about the game?
Bob, I'll tell you, at home I'm constantly taking notes, and it's amazing. The surfaces of the lanes are to equate with baseball that a lot of us are familiar with. Like we went from grass to astroturf. When in bowling, we change the surface constantly, so the speed of the ball travels differently. The rotation on the ball is entirely different, so the types of oils they put on the lanes now are different than they did 20 years ago. They used to use shellac, then they went through mineral elastic, and now they've got a lot of plastics and different types of oil. So the ball rotation acts entirely different than when I was a kid. So you have to learn different releases. Like I know six different releases now, where at one time one release was sufficient. Not anymore.
Well, now when you're in a championship tournament, aren't all the lanes the same?
No, Bob. What happens is, for example, we've had this happen where sometimes they'll leave the window open in the bowling center in the wintertime by mistake, and the lanes on by the window where lane one and two were, they'll get frozen a little bit, and that oil freezes up, and they're very slick. The ball won't hook, and they'll have heat coming into the building on the different side of the lane at maybe 35 and 36 at that corner, and those lanes tend to dry out. So we'll bowl on one and two, and the lanes don't hook. We'll go on 35 and 36, and the lanes will hook. Extreme. So as we're traveling, the lanes are changing. And then when I'm in a tournament, the ball hooks differently the first game than it does by the time it does the sixth game. And when I go out to eat dinner and come back and the other people are bowling, I come back that night, the lanes are hooking differently than when they were in the morning where the window was open, because now they've closed it.
Are there any characters in the game, like, let's say, Minnesota Fat?
Well, we've got a few. I've been known as a rebel, but I'm somewhat getting disciplined as I'm getting a little older, but I've still been told I'm not quite totally disciplined. And we've got a guy named Marshall Holman's a little bit of a maniac. And he's like Illy Nastasi in Tennessee. He just got fined $2,500 and was put on suspension for 10 tournaments where he kicked the ball return and knocked the foul lights off. And we got a few wild men, to say the least.
What about the game to learn? Is it a tough game for a young person to really learn and adjust to?
Bob, it's a strange game in this sense that you can learn bowling to get to 180 average very easily, but to master the sport's almost impossible. I don't know if anybody, I've been around 29 years professionally, and I don't know of anyone that has actually mastered the sport. It's just so difficult. There's so many variables out there that you can go in one bowling center and learn the game, so to speak, to knock down 180 average, but you can't go cross-country, all different conditions and master. Nobody's been able to do that yet.
How many weight balls are there in use?
Well, there's different weights. It goes from 10 pounds for the women, even as light as 8 pounds for some of the kids, but up to 16 pounds. Up to 16 pounds is the highest you can go.
16 pounds?
Yeah, 16 pounds is maximum weight.
How many different types of balls are there? Are they all the same?
Well, we have rubber bowling balls with different hardnesses. They're getting more scientific.
Yeah, they're more scientific?
They're much more scientific today, Bob, where they make a rubber ball at a given hardness.
Go ahead.
They make a rubber ball at a given hardness.
Will you stop it? Go ahead.
Okay. They make a rubber ball at a given hardness. Like, for example, a 90-degree hardness on a durometer scale, and it won't hook much. But if they found out if they make that same ball with the same material at a 70-degree hardness, it hooks a lot more. So now we've got rubber bowling balls at 72 hardness, 85 hardness, 90 hardness. So you've got your choice of how big a hook you want to throw in a rubber ball. Then you've got plastic balls that got different hardness. Now they're putting different materials in the plastic, mixing them up a little bit so that they cause different characteristics. So you've got a choice of at least six different types of bowling balls if you really want to get scientific.
In other words, a bowling ball will do a lot of things without being influenced by the man who throws it.
Absolutely. The equipment will definitely help you or hurt you if you don't know how to use it.
What type of a floor do you prefer?
The approach that I like to bowl on, I don't like real slippery approaches. I like an approach that has a little bit on the tacky side because I like to go up to the line a little faster than the average person and dig in so that I can put a lot of twist on that ball. Now, people that like to so-called have a real smooth stroke, they like a little slipperier approach so they could slide and glide over the surface and be a little smoother. But I like to crank. We call that in our sport cranking the ball. That's the way I learned to bowl, put a lot of twist on the ball. We have a kid today, Mark Roth, that does that. He throws a tremendously powerful delivery, and Marshall Holman. They're two young kids that are great bowlers today.
Are there any real good top-flight left-handed bowlers?
Oh, yes. Besides Earl Anthony, we have another player named Johnny Petraglia. In fact, that's been a big controversy on the Pro Bowlers Tour because 8 out of every 10 people that bowl on the right side of the lane, and we kind of cause a ball track and cause roughness where only 2 lefties are competing, and they're on a smooth surface. So when the lefties are going good, we always tell the Professional Bowlers Association, goof up their side a little bit and make that side rough like our side is to make things equal. We're always having a problem with that.
That's the first time I ever heard of that.
That's right. They're in a different ballpark. How would you like to be going in a ballpark where I got to, as a right-hander, hit a 450-foot homer, and they're shooting for 300 feet? Well, things aren't equal, and we're paying for the same prize money, and our entry fees are the same, but they got a little easier ballpark.
I never thought of that. Our guest today, and we're delighted to have him as an old friend and one of the country's top bowlers, Carmen Salvino. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest today is Carmen Salvino, one of the country's top bowlers. What about accidents in bowling?
Bob, you would think that bowling's the type of sport that nothing would happen. Well, Buzz Fazio one time was leading a tournament at the All-Star Tournament at the Coliseum in Chicago here. He went for a shave, and the guy dropped a razor on his thumb and cut his thumb, and he went from first to about 14th. And one time I was in a tournament in New York, and I was bowling real well, and I wanted to put – the lanes were hooking a lot of. So I wanted to put a little wax on my bowling ball. So the machine was broken, so I went into this place where they had a buffing wheel, and I put this ball on top of a chair, and the ball rolled off the chair, fell on my big toe, and broke my big toe. So I got the headlines, bowler drops out, broken big toe. So then another time I had to bowl in the All-Star myself. I went to hang up my top coat in the wintertime, and the hanger slipped and ripped my whole finger, and a couple guys have hurt their wrist. This year in particular, we've got elbows going, wrists going, big toes going. So I tell you, we're getting to be a hazardous sport. But it's great because I like the challenge of anything can happen in bowling.
Carmen Salvino, would you say that your game has reached its peak?
Bob, I have just begun to get to the prime of my life. I'm 46. By the time I'm 60, my game will be at my peak. There's great things to come. So keep an eye on me, will you?
Well, that's just great. And great. You love the game. So.
Oh, Bob, I'll tell you. I go to practice, and I'm still very excited. My wife, I drive her crazy because I'll be throwing a ball in practice. Nobody's in the bowling alley. I'm running them out.
How often, tell us honestly, have you made that impossible split?
I've made it twice, and both times I made it, I was not trying to make it. I was doing a demonstration and it was accidental. That 7-10 split, the one you're talking about. I never made it on purpose.
Our guest today is an old friend, and we're delighted to have him here at Northwest Federal, and one of the country's great bowlers, Carmen Salvino. Carmen, thanks for being with us. We enjoy seeing you always.
Bob, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm nominated for the Chicago Hall of Fame, the Sports Hall of Fame. If anybody's listening besides bowlers, I'd welcome any vote.
That's fine. Well, you sure get mine. Our guest today has been Carmen Salvino, one of the country's great bowlers. It's a wonderful sport. And now have a happy weekend. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Saturday at our usual time.